noticing my pain. Yeah.
Hey. This is my song. Go ahead, Parker. Let this play for a second. Hey, and I'm better. I'm back and I'm better. Welcome to the Black Conversion Show with your girl, Brandi Grayson, your hostess with the mostest, the black woman you love to hate but hate to love. You can't help but to love me because that's just who I am. Sucks to be you, boo. You're tuned in to 92.7 FM, WMDX, and I'm excited to be here today. I'm always excited. I'm always excited to run my mouth. So anyway, we have Spider-Man in the building today as my producer. I'm super excited to have you, Parker.
Hi.
And for people who are just joining us on the Black Conversion Show, Parker, name is Parker, like Spider-Man. And Parker looks like Spider-Man. And Parker is about 22 years old.
So I am Spider-Man. I just can't tell you that.
Yeah. So he's allegedly Spider-Man. Okay. So when y'all be talking y'all crap, I just send a message out to Parker and he be on point. You know what I mean? Because I got white Power Rangers. Y'all just don't know. They don't know, Parker.
There we go.
They don't know I'm anointed and protected, even by white people. Okay, God is good. So thank you for joining us. So Parker, how are you? Because I like to check in with my producer. Parker's the producer today. Luke is running late. I know y'all missed him because he's been on vacation, but he's running late and we got to keep the show rolling. So Parker, how are you doing today?
We're doing pretty good. Yeah. Been gotten off of the beaten path a couple times this week.
Yeah.
But you know what? That's how it goes.
It
Hoping
is.
To get some stuff done. How are you doing, Brandi?
You know, I mean, I'm Brandi Grayson Parker. I mean, are you sure you want the answer to that question?
I want the Midwest answer of I'm good. Don't ask a follow-up question.
Right. Don't be authentic and tell the truth. Just smile and say everything is fine over here.
Bingo.
Yeah, exactly. That is the Midwest way of being, really faking and authentic. But I'm Brandi Grayson. I'm from the Midwest, but something about me just cannot do fake and inauthentic. But how am I doing? I am doing okay, though, Parker. Life is lifing. Life is always lifing. I mean, we're in a time and age where if you ain't grounding yourself and being intentional, you will float away, okay? The devil is a lie. There's demons everywhere all the time. So, in summary, I'm okay. Yesterday was a very interesting day for urban triage on social media. It often is a very interesting day, but I'm going to tell you more because I always want to bring context, right? Like, I be trying to teach and educate. So what I'm going to do today, instead of giving you the story of what transpired on social media as it relates to urban triage staff. So shout out, first of all, to urban triage staff and to all our new listeners. We are a nonprofit organization. I am the founder and director of said organization. We have multiple services and programs, and one of our services and programs is that we actually hire the people we serve. So we have programs with inside programs, which makes our work a little bit more complicated sometimes and complex. And I can tell you, most people can't do what we do and how we do it. So anyway, shout out to my team. And before we get into the conversation about the conversation on social media, I'm actually going to do a teaching moment for y'all because I love to teach. That's one of the things that give me joy because I love talking. I'm an engager, you know, I'm an empathic person too, which makes me a very amazing facilitator. And I have a beautiful smile. Don't you think so, Parker?
You got a great smile.
Thank you, Parker. You know, I try my best to take care of my teeth. You know, I got one tooth over here that needs the crown on it because I got an implant, the little screw that screws in the bottom. That's my last big dental job. This tooth was $4,000.
Oh yeah. I had braces and my parents won't let me forget it.
Yeah. And you bet not. Okay. I had to put a payment plan on this one tooth. Okay. I'm like, let's put half on credit card and then I'm going to pay $99 a month for the other. You got to finance your teeth because sister can't be walking around here looking crazy. So anyway, shout out to the dentists that make me all beautiful and my smiling. Okay. So today on the Black Conversion Show here on 92.7 FM, we're going to discuss a few things. There's plenty in the news to discuss. First of all, we have a budget cuts in Dane County across all departments, 4% across all departments. And when I tell you guys, our sheriff department, led by a black man that I respect, I always respect black people in positions that are hard, that are, cultivated for them actually not to be successful. And he has been doing an amazing job politicking. He has been doing really good at being balanced and maintaining this neutral part that's, neutral way of being, which is required to be in the correctional system and leading as a Black man. So shout out to you. But what I want to point out today in our conversation is the politricking and the spinning of the narrative. And it's what people do in politics to evoke emotional response. So we're going to talk about that today. And I'm going to give you the facts about the Dane County budget. So you make sure you're clear, because the Dane County Sheriff Department has made all kinds of social media posts that are quite misleading. And it's so funny because it's led by a Black man, but entertained by Trumpers in the comments. I said, this is what whiteness looks like. Whiteness doesn't take a white face to do it or to orchestrate it. It can actually be done by any of us. And when you learn and build analysis of white supremacy, you begin to understand that white supremacy isn't actually about race. It's about power. And it's about characteristics and attributions and ways of being that tells us if you're not this way, then you must be abnormal. So we're definitely going to discuss that today in the trickery in Madison, Wisconsin, and Dane County. What we're also going to talk about is there is rumors on social media flying everywhere about a Tidree Hung. I suck at names. Last week when we recorded, I got everybody's name wrong. I listened to myself. I got, what's his name? Epstein. I got his name wrong.
Yeah, you're Stan Epstein. I think you said Stephen Smith instead of...
I said Stephen King instead of Smith.
Yes, that's what it was.
So when you listen to me, don't do the names, because the one thing happens in my ADHD brain, I just grab whatever sounds familiar and I can't pronounce names. I sometimes think I'm an immigrant. Well, technically, I'm a forced immigrant from generations ago, but we're not going to talk about that right now. But I do have challenges pronouncing names, and I get names wrong when I start running my mouth and going fast. So anyway, just forgive me, because I forgive you for being ignorant sometimes. So anyway, her name is Tidree Young, and she's a Black woman from Edgefield County? I think it's in Texas, but she supposedly was arrested on October 9th. On October 20th, they posted her mugshot, and she looks dead. Very similar to Sandra Bland. So we want to talk about that today on the Black Conversion Show. And also we have a police officer arrested in Reno for charges of sexual exploitation of young people, of children. And he was arrested with 13 other people. It is going down in America right now. Shout outs also to everybody that was protesting this weekend or last weekend in Madison. I heard it was like 15,000 people. Parker, were you outside?
I was out there, yeah. I was doing a little bit of reporting for Civic Media.
Okay, period.
There was about 15,000, yeah. It was a lot of people.
What was happening?
So they started in, I think, Pike Park, and then marched down East Wash.
Okay.
And then a ton of speakers. I can't remember. I believe Judge Everett Mitchell gave a speech.
Judge Everett. I went to his church a couple weeks ago.
He was incredible.
He killed it, Parker.
Yes.
Thought you was listening to Martin Luther King, didn't you?
Honestly, yeah, kind of. It was awesome. We've got a...
Yes.
I've been putting together a big supercut. It's 7.5 minutes long of a bunch of interviews and speeches that we gathered over the weekend across the state. And probably half of it is him, because he's just so good. His words are really powerful.
Okay, yeah. Pastor Everett, Judge Everett. And for people who don't know, Pastor Everett / Judge Everett used to be a part of the Young, Gifted, and Black Coalition, which was the coalition I was a part of right before Urban Triage took off. So our Urban Triage started, and then we developed this Young, Gifted, and Black Coalition made up of grassroots organizers across the state. And we were the folks that were taking over the streets, and then y'all started just attacking me. But anyway, Judge Everett used to be a part of that. I know it's not politically correct for him to say Black Lives Matter anymore or to actually associate with himself with too many Black people in that way. But I get it. Politricking be politricking in Dane County. You can't be too Black or they'll say you're unprofessional. But we'll get into that next. But shout out to all the protesters in the No King marches that's happening across the country. White people are taking to the streets. They are upset because they voted for a mediocre white dude who is absolutely destroying the systems, the Constitution, our legal system, and making a muck of us globally. So shout out to y'all. But I also want to say to my white people protesting, I need y'all to do more than protest, okay? My people, it looks good. I love to see you guys in your outfits on the streets and marching. I mean, I absolutely love it. And you know what? What was so funny, the day that it happened, I took my son. I think it was it Saturday or Sunday? Was it Sunday?
It was Saturday.
It was Saturday. I took my son to the park, Birmingham Park, off of West Washington, which is in my opinion, the most diverse park in Madison. You're going to see homeless people. You might even see some people drinking. You're going to see college students jogging. You're going to see professionals who own houses along the lake. You're going to see Asians, Cambodians, Black, African, white kids. It is an amazing demonstration of what diversity looks like and how you can still be safe when you are in the presence of people that you may not get an opportunity to actually relate to. It's my favorite park. I take my kid there all the time. So I digress. So anyway, as the No King march was occurring, I was there with my son. But then I ended up running into some young ladies who said they had just came from brunch at Madison's. And if you're not familiar with Madison's, they're on King Street. They do have great brunch. So shout out to y'all. I really mess with Madison's, by the way. I really appreciate the owner of that business and appreciate their ambiance. Okay, I digress again. So back to my point. So the group of women that I ran into, they were Black women, and they were eating brunch when all of this was taking place. And it was so funny because it was like, we were just eating, getting drunk, drinking our mimosas and watching these white folks march and thinking like, I guess I'll go ahead and, take my seat and rest up. And I thought that is the energy across the country as it relates to Black women and Black people right now. So again, back to my white folks protesting. You're tuned in to the Black Conversion Show here on 92.7 FM. Your girl, Brandi Grayson, the hostess with the mostest. So what I'm going to encourage my white folks to do, I'm going to encourage you to take action, in between the marches. Like, I appreciate the marches. It is a PR type of marketing thing. I learned it from when I was organizing. But there needs to be demands. There needs to be actions. There needs to be a campaign. So what y'all want us to do? Stop paying taxes? We need something like, powerful that demonstrates the power of the people. And we need y'all to direct it. Okay, white folks, we need you to make a stand against all the whiteness that's occurring, that's affecting poor people the most. Okay, it affects disadvantaged people the most. They are, and we are, their target. Our immigrants, our sisters, our brothers, our neighbors are the target. Folks, our elders on Medicaid. And I don't know, for people who are new listening to me here on 92.7 FM, we take care of a lot of elders in our communities. And when I tell you their budgets are tight, I mean, some elders are living off $25 a week. Parker, can you imagine living off $25 a week?
No, it's kind of hard to live off a day.
Okay. $25. Thank you. And they're doing it. And they're doing it with the support of SNAPs and Food Share and food pantries, right? Some elders have cars that can't put gas in it. Y'all, this isn't funny. So my white folks who are marching out there, I need you to take action, and it needs to be financially. I said what I said. You need to make donations to the organizations that are on the front line doing the work that are the most impacted, because the more resources are taken away, the less capacity we have. Urban Triage received 200 requests in 1 week from our community. What do we do with that? We can't handle 200 requests from people in need of services advocacy on our current budget. So I share that to all my protesters, organizers around the No King March. Take action. Create a campaign around demands, and let's make something happen. And your sisters and brothers who are enjoying their mimosas and tea while this is occurring and just taking care of ourselves and figuring out how we strategize as our world burns. We'll join you soon enough, I think. I don't think we'll be able to hold out much longer. But you're tuned into the Black Conversion Show with your girl, Brandi Grayson. I have more tea to come. We're going to learn about the making and conditioning of the Negro. We're going to hear from James Baldwin and Nikki Giovanni, some of our leaders in history and historians and writers and authors, all the people Black people should know, but we don't know because history is often rewritten. But you're going to learn today here on the Black Conversion Show with your favorite hostess and CEO and founder of Urban Triage, Brandi Grayson. Y'all love and hate me, but stay tuned because I got plenty of tea for y'all when we return. You got me. Okay, stay tuned. Peace, love, and hair grease. His cover, call me lucky. Only still
alive because he sold it. You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
I think we're going to have to ask the more gospel. That's what we got to do, Parker. Welcome back to the Black Conversion Show here on 92.7 FM, WMDX, with your girl, Brandi Grayson, the Black woman you love to hate and you can't help but to love. I mean, how could you not love all of this? Okay. Anyway, back to the storylines. Before we took break, I was telling you guys about a lot of things, but we're going to talk about right now. I want to tell you about this Dane County budget. So for clarity, y'all, we have a Dane County $31 million deficiency in our county budget. So our beautiful county exec has instructed all departments under, I think it's Department of Human Services, to cut 4% of their budgets. That means all services offered through the county, mental health services, sheriff department services governed by Dane County, all kinds of services. I don't know all the list of departments, but it's a lot. Dane County has a huge budget. And the request was like, hey, only way that we meet our deficiency is by cutting and 4%. So that means organizations like Urban Triage, who provides a lot of housing and homeless services through the county, grants and contracts, and POSs, which is purchase of services agreements, we have also gotten cut. But I think we might have, I don't know, there's another vote on November 3rd. If you have opinions about the Dane County budget, that's the meeting you would show up at to give your opinion and to register to vote. There is another meeting on October 27th. It is not for public speaking. That meeting is for the Finance Committee, to Personnel and Finance Committee, to debate the issue. And I wanted you guys to be aware of the Facebook posts that our beautiful sheriff have posted on their web, on their social media platform, indicating and saying that, hey, we're not going to be able to have the same service level if this cut is made to the sheriff department. We're not going to be able to service the new jail, this beautiful over $200 million facility, the cages that we've invested in. He's alleging that there will not be enough staff available to staff the prison. So this is the thing. The 4% and the funds that, you know, different agencies and Dane County Supervisors is asking for him to do what they're asking him to do, and the county exec and other people to vote for to do. They're saying, hey, Sheriff Department, you've had 28 vacancies for a long, long time. And those 28 vacancies have been part of your budget for a long time, and you have not filled those slots. So let's just go ahead and take some of that money, right? Let's take some of that money and reallocate it to mental health services, crisis response services, because they have a larger impact on the cuts. Because, you know, when you take, if you have a $20 million budget and you take 4%, it's felt, but it ain't felt like when you have a $100,000 budget and you take 4%. It's not, it's just not the same. It's just like taxes, just a different impact. Okay. So, but the sheriff is kind of politicking and spinning it a little bit and saying he's using like trending white supremacy words like defund the police. No one has asked him to defund the police, but in utilizing that rhetoric, he's able to conjure up the energy of Trumpers, right? And white nationalists. So they're all into gang of like, this is the white liberalism of Dane County. And then they start talking about the mayor. Y'all, the mayor ain't got nothing to do with Dane County board, right? This is Dane County executive and the many supervisors that y'all have elected to represent y'all as constituents, okay? So just listen and read, because y'all ain't reading and y'all just making comments. So anyway, I just wanted y'all to know that. And of course, Urban Triage and other agencies that provide services to you, your family, and other people are impacted. So anyway, you guys should just know that. Watch for it. And I'm going to, I hate when I try to like talk about something in a small way, but then I end up talking too much. So what I'm going to do real quick before we go into more news, I want to share with you what occurred with Urban Triage. And before I'm going to share a minute, because I'm trying to time it with this time of year. See me looking up on YouTube and Facebook. I'm looking up at the time, like, do I have enough? But maybe not now because I keep talking. So anyway, what occurred, y'all, on social media yesterday for Urban Triage is there was a young lady who made a statement about Urban Triage hiring anybody. And she was basically upset because Urban Triage has been posting new hires pictures and welcoming them to the team. And there is one particular new hire that she's upset with. I guess she has a personal relationship with this particular person. And she's alleging that the person is so messy on Facebook. Why would we hire her to do direct service work? So it's something so simple caused this huge backlash. And I say a huge backlash because people love messy. That's the funny thing. Like, you mad that we hired allegedly a messy person, but you're messy. And then the post was messy. So it got some traction. So I reminded people, and I'll remind our listeners, that Urban Triage is a Black-led organization led by Black women. And we absolutely employ the people we serve. So the people that you define as unprofessional or messy often is, in the context of Urban Triage, some of our best workers. They have some of the best impact on our families. They are the ones that's able to move, shake, connect dots, and connect resources for people. And just so you know, in order to serve the people that we serve, because there's a few subset of people that Urban Triage serves as a nonprofit. We serve people who are working class people, people who are facing housing instability. You fall on your luck. Oh my God, I lost my job. I got sick. Something happened. My husband, my partner got sick. Someone went to jail. Someone died, because we're always a paycheck away from having a crisis, especially when at this time and, you know, and with our economy and everything. So that's one subset of people. And then we have another subset of people where majority of our funding is for the county money we get, the city money we get, the HUD money that we get for housing. Well, some of the money we lost millions because of Trump and the shutdown, but that's for another conversation. But all of that money, people, is designated for people who are living on the streets, not housing insecurity, not people who are trying to figure out how not to become homeless. But in order for you to qualify for most of our housing programs, you have to be sleeping on the streets. You have to be attending the day shelter, the Beacon, Safe Haven. You have to be at Salvation Army or the YWCA, and you must be referred to Urban Triage through the coordinated entry system, which is all orchestrated through the federal government. I thought I'd share that because y'all really don't be understanding what we do. So the people that we hire are the people that we serve, because they have to go in environments and encourage and motivate people that most of y'all won't even speak to when they're laid on the street. But stay tuned, because I have more politics and tea, and I'm going to help you understand why Black people throw Black people under the bus. And I'm going to do that with the help of Umar Johnson and James Baldwin when we return here to the Black Conversion Show. 92.7 FM with your girl Brandi Grayson. Stay tuned for the tea. Okay, that's what I needed to start with, Luke. Welcome back, Luke. Welcome to the Black Conversion Show here on 92.7 FM with your girl Brandi Grayson. One of my favorite producers have just returned in the middle of the show. My boy Luke, welcome home.
One of the favorites. Yeah, okay. One of them. I gotta fix that.
You've been gone so much.
I know. I apologize.
I got another favorite. It's Parker. Welcome back. How you been doing?
I've been good. Busy but good.
Okay.
Busy but good. How about you?
You know, you missed it. You'll find out next week.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah. I'm gonna listen back. Don't worry.
Right. That's
Check out the podcast, folks. Head over to Civic Media or WMDXRadio.com.
Exactly. Okay, so we're gonna, because I'm always out of time and I'm trying to do too much, what I want, before we took break, what I was discussing is there was a what we call a show on social media regarding Urban Triage and who we hire. And it's more about how people perceive what professionalism is and what social work, case management, and advocacy and peer support is. So we're going to get into it, but we're going to get into it from a history perspective. I'm going to have you give me a soundbite from Dr. Barbara Sizemore, Luke, whenever you're ready.
Not comfortable for white people. They're not comfortable for them to talk about the possibility that Africans were here before the Europeans. So what do you do with the heads in Mexico that you find at San Lorenzo, at Tres Zapotes? What do you do with those? All right? You ignore them. What do you do with Columbus's diary that says the Africans know a way to the West, but it goes around the doldrums, we would never survive? What do you do with that? You ignore it. What do you do with Balboa's diary that says we came upon this African village in the Isthmus? How did these Africans get here? What do you do with that? You ignore it. Why? To preserve the myth that the Europeans were here first. What do you do with all of this written literature and history that says that Abubakar II of Mali sent 200 ships to the West, and one came back and said they were afraid that the others disappeared? And then to have Balboa find this village that looks just like Mali, where he was? What do you do with this information? You ignore it. Why? to preserve the myth of white superiority. That's what our whole educational process is devoted to. What do you do with this whole history? This is a written history, my dear, written. I'm not talking about hearsay. I'm not talking about a griot said this. I'm not talking about something handed down from one generation to the other. Nobody has to tell them. These kids aren't stupid. They understand the name of the game. What we're not telling our kids are the nature of struggle and who the enemy is, because we're
all right.
History has.
That's good. Thank you, Luke. So I wanted to provide context for new listeners. You're tuned into the Black Conversion Show here on 92.7 FM WMDX. I have to give you a little foundation to start. So Dr. Barbara Sizemore just gave a quick 3-minute history cap of the long history of people who look like me, people known as Black today, people with dark skin. Because remember, the social construct of race is about skin tone, nothing else. I mean, they try to make it about education and things like that, but it's really about skin tone, Negroid features such as noses, nice lips, dark skin. But can we just pause for a second and say, shout out to my ancestors and the DNA that gave me this dark skin and melanin. Sister, age like wine, just fine like time. Okay, anyway, moving on. So I gave you that context because I want you to understand that in order for white supremacy to exist, in order for it to be the prototype, you first have to erase the history of Black brilliance and where we come from. We are more than slaves. Our history started before enslavement. It's a global history. And are we all connected as folks that's in, you know, what, let's not get into it. What I want to do is set the foundation for that. And then what I want you to do, Luke, right now is play the clip from James Baldwin and Nikki Giovanni conversation. Y'all should look it up on Facebook. It's like a 20-minute conversation. It's one of the most powerful conversations between Black leaders and Black thoughts, people, and literature. You know, these folks are the civil rights folks of our time. You need to look them up. You need to read about them. You need to know about them. Is the video propped? Okay, go ahead, Luke.
So here now are Nikki Giovanni and James Baldwin.
Oh, no. You got to start at the, sorry, Luke. You have to start at 5-something. I sent all of that in email. I'm so sorry. So what I'm going to do and what I'm attempting to connect for y'all is because of the erasure, I cannot pronounce words, of our history, we have become collaborators in our own destruction. So what occurs is when Black people build something, we critique it and we literally try to destroy it because we too believe in white systems, white structure, and whiteness. And I'll tell you more in a second. Go ahead, Luke, with that clip.
Elucidate for myself a theology and the effects of a theology, which I at the moment realized I carried in myself. Mm-hmm. You know, it was not the world that was my oppressor only. Because what the world does to you, if the world does it to you long enough and effectively enough, you begin to do it to yourself. Mm-hmm. You become a collaborator, an accomplice of your own murderers, mm-hmm. because you believe the same things they do. You know, they think it's important to be white, and you think it's important to be white. Mm-hmm. They think it is shameful to be Black, and you think it is shameful to be Black. And you have no corroboration around you of any other sense of life. You know, all those corroborations which are around you are, in terms of the white majority standards, so deplorable, they frighten you to death. You don't eat watermelon. No, you get so rigid you can't dance. You know, you can hardly move by the time you're 14. Mm-hmm. You know, you're always scrubbed and shining. You know, a parody of God knows what, because you know, no white person's ever been, you know, as clean as, as clean as you have been forced to become. And, you know, and you got somehow to begin to break out of all of that and try to become yourself. You know, mm-hmm. It's hard for anybody, but it's very hard if you're born Black in a white society.
All right, Luke, thank you. So I hope we are able to, and I'm sorry for that feedback. Let me turn that down. I'm hoping that we can connect the dots here, right? So in order for us to do what we do and hate ourselves, we must first erase our history. And then we must first absorb this idea that white is right. And not just from a conscious level, but from a nervous system level, from a deep yearning to have proximity to whiteness. And let me be clear, this is not a new idea. This is not Brandy's Grace. Since thought. This is something that's been talked about for the last from since the books that I'm reading from Dr., you know, Marcus Garvey to Dr. Franz Kwesing Wessing, from Dr. Joy DeGruy around post-traumatic slave syndrome, to James Baldwin, who all, you know, white folks love James Baldwin, to Bell Hooks, who talks about it. This is people who are teaching us the impact of whiteness and white supremacy and the framing of it and removal of our history and the impact on Black people. And I'm going to make this make sense. You're tuned into the Black Conversion Show here on 92.7 FM with your girl, Brandi Grayson. I'm not really a politician. I'm like a slash educator, advocate, and a business owner, okay? Who take care of people and do myself my best to take care of myself. But the point I want to make today is, because of the erasure of history, because of this conditioning of being indoctrinated in whiteness and only having white reference points, and being taught that everything Black isn't right, is abnormal, we have then started to be collaborators along with whiteness. So if we run into Black people that don't fit white structures, systems, or ways of being, we diss them. We sound like white people when we talk about them. Oh, they're not professional. They're not this. Brandi, the way that Brandi's acting or talking is not ethical. So the fact that I talk about real life things that occur in my life, that occur in my staff life, that occur in the lives of Black people we serve, we like to say it's not ethical to talk about it. Let's not talk about what's happening, but y'all could talk about us, but we're not allowed to respond because that's not professional, right? I get it. It's in this construct. But what I want y'all to understand about Blackness and Black freedom and liberation, liberation is the ability to be human. It's the ability to be emotional. It's the ability to be angry when you're mad. It's the ability to express yourself without being silent. It's the ability to move beyond performance. Right? Because inside this construct of white supremacy, people known as Black have been taught to perform. And one of the things that I teach at Urban Triage is stop being performative. Because if you continue to perform, then you never get an opportunity to understand or know who you are. You mess around and think you are the mask. So when my staff show up in ways that some make, you know, constitute as unprofessional, it's a thin line for me. I have coaching sessions with them. We talk about how to professionally and articulately check people, you know, but, you know, you get to express yourself. You get to be mad. And I also want to let you guys know that one thing that separates Urban Triage from most nonprofit organizations is that we teach trauma recovery as part of our programming to run the program. And that's even hard in accounting, because people think that the work we do with our staff isn't actually part of the program. But in order for us to run efficient programs where we're dealing with people with mental health crises and AODA challenges and things like schizophrenia, we must be able to train our people on a daily basis to hold space for that while they too become triggered, because they too are holding trauma and grief, because these are the people that we serve. So I provide that context to help you understand that, no, I'm not bothered by sometimes how my staff show up. It's an opportunity for growth, practice, and expansion, because we hire the people we serve. And most of them are Black. And I gotta say that the act of having the ability as a Black woman in Madison to hire 15 to 20 Black people and develop them and edify them and train them is pretty powerful. Moving people from poverty to stability is not just a conversation or a theory, is transformation in action. So kudos to Urban Triage and everyone that supports us, and our board and our executives and our managers and our strategic planners that help us expand our thought. And kudos to people who understand what liberation is. So I'll go ahead and move on from that topic, but I wanted to help y'all understand what Black liberation is really about. It's actually the ability to be human, because inside this construct of white supremacy, it tells all of us, including white people, they can't be human. And if you read the research of the impact of white supremacy on white people and slavery on white people, it hasn't impacted white people in ways that it's hard for them to actually love, like love deeply and feel deeply. Because what white supremacy has to teach you is to detach from humanity, which dehumanizes you. Because what person can watch a person be beaten, murdered, killed, and take their pieces of their body and have it put on mantles and take pictures by a burning body and cut babies out of people bodies and then cheese and not be affected? It's an impact. White supremacy have an impact on all of us, which is why we end up with a Trump, why we end up in a situation right now where there's a shift happening, a paradigm shift. The entire system is about to crumble. is falling apart. This idea of one human or one race being above another human is absolutely absurd and ridiculous. I want to remind y'all that we are all one in the human race. And y'all are so beautifully cultivated that you actually get to be proud of the differences, not offended by the differences, not offended that Black people serve Black people and that we say Blackness is all right and beautiful and Black power in the context of white supremacy, that we have to explain to white people and brown people that we do serve Black people. I mean, brown people and white people, we serve everybody, but we're the only organization that's asked, well, you know, y'all Black, so I'm assuming y'all don't serve nobody else. I bet you y'all don't go to a Latino academy and ask them that. Do you serve Black people? Are you serving white people? Y'all don't care. So then ask yourself, why does it feel some kind of way for people known as Black to center themselves in the context of white supremacy when white supremacy is founded and I don't know, predicated on the idea of Black inferiority? Because if you remove white Black inferiority, the system crumbles. So anyway, that's my education piece today on the Black Conversion Show with one of your favorite people in Madison, Wisconsin. So anyway, we're going to talk about when we return to some more news. I know I told y'all there's a guy that's in Reno that was arrested, a police officer, for sexual exploitation. Y'all, this is a hot mess in our country, but we're going to be all right. We're going to be all right. Okay, stay tuned some more for Politics and Tea here on 92.7 FM.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Okay, it's your girl, Brandi Grayson, the hostess with the mostest, here on 92.7 FM WMDX. You're tuned in to the Black Conversion Show. Oh my God, it's Saturday, y'all. And before the break, we talked a lot about what I always talk about, which is white supremacy, which can feel a little icky for people. But I encourage you to listen with your heart. I encourage all the people that were protesting No King to listen with your heart, understanding that what we are facing and what we are, you know, what our biggest challenge is each other being, you know, bothered by each other and wanting to violently stop people from speaking their truth and violently stop history from being told. That's something to think about, isn't it? So I encourage all of us to figure out how we can center in our hearts and our humanity, all of that goodness. So anyway, I also want to talk about, before we run out of time here on the Black Conversion Show, I want to do another clip because I like clips because I talk by myself. And when I don't have a co-host or a sidekick, then I just use clips because I know y'all get tired of my opinion. Okay. Anyway, Luke, let's go ahead and play the short clip by Dr. Umar Johnson.
The Kerner Commission. I don't know if y'all read it. I recommend you read it. The Kerner Commission was a presidential study commissioned by President Lyndon Baines Johnson in 1967. In 1967, there was over 100 race riots in America. This is the year before they killed King. And then when they killed King, there was more race riots, right?
Right.
Lyndon Baines Johnson put together a commission that was headed by a Caucasian named Kerner. So they called it the Kerner Commission. It was a report on the civil disturbances. Why were so many riots happening in America? And you know what the Kerner Commission said? Kerner Commission said, what Black America will never forget, what white America cannot understand, is that white America is deeply implicated in the ghetto. They created it. They maintain it and they condone it. And guess what? Lyndon Baines Johnson was so mad at the results of the Kerner Commission, he never spoke on it publicly. And Dr. King was partly murdered because of the Kerner Commission. Because had he got his hands on this report, the government agreeing with everything he'd been saying, he would have been unstoppable. So they had to kill Dr. King to make sure he didn't get to the Kerner Commission report and add that to his repertoire of information against
him. So part of, again, for the folks who are just tuning in to this Black woman here on 92.7 FM WMDX, the Black Conversion Show. So that's Dr. Umar Johnson. Look him up. I don't agree with everything he says, but I wanted to let you hear this clip because sometimes when the one thing I know systems like to do is collect data, don't they? The truth. How are these ghettos being formed? How are Black people being? Why are they acting like that? What is that about? I want to remind y'all that for the lack of, I know I'm huffing and puffing over here. Reminds me of the, anyway, I'm about to say, I'm going to stay focused, y'all. My brain is kind of like that. I want to remind y'all, in the best word that I have to describe our reality is a simulation. That's the best word I have, a matrix. It's a program. It's like building an app or a website. You put different commands in it, and it does different things. You put equal sign, a parenthesis, and a slash, and an arrow, and then some other command, and something happens, and it moves, or you move the animation around. A simulation, meaning that the things that we are pronged to do is conditioned in us, right? You heard James Baldwin talk about it. You can look up bell hooks and you can read about it. I mean, there's so many books out there. I know we are not the most educated generation or country, but I'm going to ask, if we're going to fight this thing, this no king thing, we should actually understand the context of it. Where is it coming from? What is the root of it? Because the thing about weeds, you can pull them up, but if you don't pull up the roots, they keep growing. They just keep going and going. And next thing you know, your beautiful flowers are dead, your crops are dead. And you're like, what happened? You did not dig up the roots. So shout out to all my people again out here marching, but I'm going to need you to understand that we need to build analysis. We need to know what it is that we are fighting against. And is it a fight? Because I don't even think it's a fight. I think it's a spiritual war. It's an age of evolution, of expansion, of centering humanity and doing it together. Imagine if our next No King March is a march rooted in going around the city and taking care of the poor and vulnerable, knocking on living assistance apartment complexes and asking, how can we be of service to you? Wouldn't that be powerful? That's how we fight what's happening right now. We do so by serving those who are most vulnerable because they're using them as a punching bag. And when they're done with them, my people, they're coming for you. It's the same game plan from the Nazis to the Holocaust to any switching of systems. You start with one group, you separate yourself from them and say, look at them. Look at those people. Look at those immigrants. And then everybody goes along like, well, it's not me. It's not showing up at my door. It ain't got nothing to do with me. And then when they're done with that level, right, then they come to your door. Who's going to show up for you? So I'm encouraging us, no matter what your color is and no matter how you like me, dislike me, agree with my rhetoric or not, it's okay. You don't have to. I don't have to agree with you. There's Republicans out there right now that's not in agreement with what's occurring. We all need to take action. But let's put down our labels. Let's put down our ideas of red, blue. Let's put down our ideas of what's black and white. And let's just do the work that needs to be done. And that is protecting those who are most vulnerable. Because you will be that one day, okay? That's my take. That's what I believe. I believe in humanness, humanity. And I actually pretty like being a human. How about you, Luke? You like being a human?
The only thing I've ever known.
Me too.
It's got its ups and downs, but it's pretty good.
Challenges, you know what I mean? The one thing that comes with humanness is you got to die one day. And that's hard to think about. And it's hard to witness when you're losing people around you, especially with my wisdom, aging self. People are kind of dying around me. I guess this is the time. So, and that's also an encouragement to everybody to love the people you love and love them loudly. Be unapologetically you. And become better than you were the day before. That's what I think we need to do. And take care of those who are most vulnerable. We just got to. We cannot end up like them. We cannot end up repeating history. So thank you again for joining me here on Urban Triage. Urban Triage, this is not Urban Triage, for joining me on a Black Conversion show. Remember, today is Saturday. There's a comedy show happening, and I am doing stand-up today, October 25th. So come and join me. Look it up on my Facebook. Y'all know how to find me. Y'all be stalking me. And do not forget that we still are giving away produce all the way to Thanksgiving, according to our agriculture department. They said, come through. We got the greens, the eggplants, and all the other stuff, pumpkins and squash at 2312 South Park Street. Peace, love, and hair grease, y'all.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.